Hello and welcome to the first episode of Tech Talk Tuesday. I'm your host, Guillermo Ortiz, and this podcast is basically going to be about technology and the latest news and trends in technology, and just my opinion on them and just general notes and sort of feedback that I get every episode I'll do on here as well, and I will also run through my tech life and any new things that I get, or, you know, any issues or problems, and I'll put them on here and we'll get people to answer them. And yeah, it's just going to be a casual podcast. I'm probably going to make it about 20 or 30 minutes and that's it. But let's start off this episode, and we're going to talk about a few things that I've got here put up on the show notes. The first of which is foldable phones. So foldable phones obviously have been a thing now, or have wanted to be a thing for many years now. I recall back in 2013 there was already talk about foldable phones and what they could do, and it was just like this mystery. You remember on YouTube there was these concept videos about what a phone would look like in the future, and it was quite fascinating to see the concepts, and you know, it sort of inspired people. And now we've got two foldable phones currently in late 2018 November, one of which is the Royal Pi. Now I think it's called Flex Pi, actually. The Royal Flex Pi. Now, this is a phone that just came out, actually. Came out about 2 weeks ago, maybe. Not too sure. But this is from a Chinese brand. And weirdly enough, they were before Samsung, before any other manufacturer to create this rather to market this or to get a product out with this technology. And the Flex Pi basically a phone that is a tablet. Once it's fully extended, you can bend the display and it becomes a phone. You can bend it inwards, or no, sorry, outwards, and it becomes a phone. And it's a Chinese branded phone, so I don't know exactly the availability outside of China. I do live in China, and I have seen ads of this phone on the street. People are pretty hyped about it, I would say, over here, but I don't know the availability outside the US. I suppose you would have to import it through AliExpress or something. But the phone, I will say this, I haven't seen it in person or in hand, but it doesn't look to be that great, really. It looks pretty plasticky. The construction and the screen doesn't look to be that good. But, you know, they were first. At least they've got that. But I just don't think... I think there's still a long way to go for foldable phones to become popular and to become mainstream. Obviously, it's new. And actually, I don't think that they will be as mainstream as people think, because we are so used to this static screen, this slab form factor, that having a foldable phone is going to be extremely strange for the first, I think, 2 years or something. It's going to be really strange to look at these phones and have them in our hands, and just we have to relearn the use of a phone. You know, we have to, instead of putting it in our pocket, we have to fold it, or I don't know how to really explain it. You're going to have to fold it and then put it in your pocket. You're going to have to handle it differently to how you handle a normal phone. And I don't know how people are going to react to that. I'm definitely of the camp that I don't like folding phones. I'm not a fan of them, because especially now, maybe later, maybe once the technology gets refined, I'll become more of a fan. But of the two phones I've seen, it's probably too early to judge. I'm simply not a fan. The screen, there's a gap. When you fold it, in between the two screens is a gap where there's nothing. And that just doesn't fill me with confidence. It's bad for design. It's aesthetically pretty horrible looking. So right now, I don't think folding phones are going to take off. But, you know, maybe in the future, I'm wrong. I'm proven wrong and they do. I'm not sure. But, you know, we'll have to see about that. And then secondly, I wanted to mention the second folding phone, actually. It's not only the Royole Pi that got introduced just 2 days ago, I believe, the Samsung Galaxy F or X. Anyway, it was at the Samsung Developer Conference. I don't know where it was, but I just read this, that the Galaxy X or F, I don't know, again, the name, it's basically the first folding phone from Samsung. And if Samsung can make this more user-friendly, then it will definitely thrive, because Samsung is a massive brand, and they can really make this popular, you know, just like Apple. But Samsung announced this phone, and to be honest, I was underwhelmed. I'm not going to lie, especially with the front display, it has so much bezel, top and bottom. It looks pretty old school, but new in a way. When you fold out, it is a tablet thing, but once you fold it into a phone form factor, it's got a lot of bezels, and I'm just not a fan of that. The screens are fantastic, though. I think they are AMOLED 2K screens, or more than 2K. The resolution is massive. I think they're over 400 pixels per inch for the screen, so it does look fantastic, but it's sort of a cheat, because it's not a flexible display, it's a foldable display, so it folds like a book, instead of being able to sort of fold it any shape you want, or outwards, or inwards, or flex the corners. It folds like a book, so it's only got one fold, I believe. It's a step in the right direction. Obviously, it is Samsung Developer Conference, so it's not one of their big events, so you wouldn't expect it to be a completely big announcement, and it wasn't. I guess it was, maybe. He sort of pulled it out his pocket, dimmed the lights a little bit, and made it seem extremely huge and flashy, and it really wasn't. Yeah, as I said, I am a bit underwhelmed by the technology so far, and hopefully in the future can improve, because, you know, I like the idea of having a folding phone, so that would sort of make tablets irrelevant then, if what we're seeing right now is something to go on for the future, would make tablets quite irrelevant, because you can just use your phone and then fold it out into a tablet. But I'm interested to see where it goes. Of course, if you're listening to this, you probably know about the Samsung folding phone and the Royole FlexPi, so I don't need to explain that too much. But yeah, let's see where it goes in the future. All right, so the second thing I want to talk about, or I say third thing, is Singles Day. So just a sort of warning, basically. I am in China, not a warning, an encouragement. I am in China at the moment, and it's currently the 11th of November, and that is Singles Day. It's probably Singles Day all over the world, but in China, Singles Day is absolutely massive. You can get some of the best deals on Singles Day, and I just want to point out a few deals that I've seen across Taobao and AliExpress. So probably the best brand to go for if you want a technology, I'm referring to phones, obviously, only to phones right now, is Xiaomi. Xiaomi phones are cheap anyway, but with these single day deals, they are dirt cheap. Just to give you a sort of idea, the Xiaomi Mi 8 retails for around 3,899 yuan. That's the base variant here in China. And then, thanks to this sort of deal, they've dropped the price down to 3,300. So that is a huge drop. That's taken it into mid-range territory. And keep in mind, the Mi 8 has a Super AMOLED display, the Snapdragon 845, and IR face scanning. So are you going to beat that for that price? You know, no, obviously not. And it's a big contender to the OnePlus 6T, you know. Doesn't have the in-display fingerprint scanner that the OnePlus 6T has, but it's got IR face scanning, which the OnePlus 6T lacks. It has the basic just user camera, and it's got, you know, the Snapdragon 845, and that beautiful display that beats the OnePlus 6T in resolution. The OnePlus 6T is a 1080p display. The Xiaomi Mi 8 has a QHD, I believe, 2K QHD Super AMOLED. So, yeah, it beats the OnePlus 6T there. The only thing is, of course, the notch is bigger, but I think that is to fit those sensors for the IR face scanning. And we do want an in-display fingerprint scanner that's fast, and it's not expensive as hell, like the Mate 20 Pro, you're going to have to go for the OnePlus 6T. Pretty much your only option. But apart from that, it's a great deal. Other deals, the Xiaomi Mi A2 and Mi A2 Lite have dropped down a couple of hundred yuan. So from, I believe it was 2,500 for the Mi A2, it's gone down to around 2,000, which is a pretty good price as well. Very decent. And it's just, but to be honest, 2,000. I mean, it's a good phone. And it is good price, don't get me wrong, but I think you can do a lot better just by paying a little bit more, getting the Mi 8. Or even the Mi 8 SE, which is another phone that's dropped down. I think it's around that 2,000 range as well, it must be around 2,200, I saw it on Taobao. So, yeah, that phone has got the brand new Snapdragon 710. It's not the 845, but it shares very lots of similarities with it. And, yeah, I really do think that if you are going to go for one of these 11/11 Singles Day deals, you should look at Xiaomi. Of course, there will be other brands like Honor, I think, has a few deals here and there for the P20 Pro and the Mate 20. Have come down in price a little bit, especially on this day. But I think barring, or maybe not even, you won't get a better deal than this for the rest of the year, not even during Christmas period, which usually you do get some pretty cheap deals. Not even Christmas period will get you a better deal than 11/11. So if you are looking for a phone, especially a Xiaomi or a Chinese branded phone, and if you're living in China, go to Taobao on JD. I'm sure you know what this is, and you're already adding stuff to your shopping cart, or already added. But if you are in Europe or in the US, go to AliExpress. They're really big on this 11/11 thing, of course, because they're tied with China. And you can find some really great deals there. So yeah. Secondly, or thirdly, I want to talk about my phone history or my tech life, one of them too. Since this is the first episode of the podcast, just want to introduce myself, I suppose, because I haven't. I've just rambled about foldable phones and 11/11s. I am Guillermo Ortiz, O-R-T-I-Z, that's how you spell that. I am Spanish, currently living in Shanghai and doing my A-levels at an international school here. And I decided to start this podcast because A, I love technology, and B, it's good for your university application. So that's why I started this. I'm sorry if it disappointed a few of you. Yeah, I have to do it basically, but I do love technology. So this was partly, you know, partly because I love it and not only because I must do it. And basically, my phone history is pretty short. I'm a big fan of saving money, of getting a bang for your buck phone or device. So my first phone was the first gen Moto G, if anyone remembers that, with the dimple at the back and this very durable phone which you could remove the back. It was supposed to be the phone for the masses. It was very cheap. It cost me 179 euros. Well, it cost my parents 179 euros. And it was really good. It was my first smartphone. I was bang in love with it. Like, I could not get off that thing. And from there, that's where my love for stock Android developed, because from then on, I've always liked stock Android and a clean vanilla experience. But yeah, the Moto G first gen was my first phone, and I had a nice little case with it, and, you know, I did a few things. I managed to mod it. I actually put CyanogenMod mod in it. It didn't run very well, since the processor, I believe, is the Snapdragon 410. Yeah, it didn't run very well, but, you know, I messed around with it, and I really did like it. My first experience with smartphones was pretty positive, which is partly why I'm in love with technology now. Secondly, you know, I had that for a few years, 3 years, and then, weirdly, it randomly sort of blacked out on me. The battery just went one day, and to this day, I cannot turn it back on. I've tried to plug it in. I taken off the back plating and tried to unscrew the battery, and that wouldn't do anything. But, you know, and I've actually tried to replace the battery, and that hasn't done anything. So maybe it's not the battery, but it's something else. I'm not sure. I think it's the battery. I don't know if the battery that they replaced me was a dud or something, but it just wouldn't turn on, and it won't turn on. And it's kind of relevant to try and fix it now, since it's 2018, and that's a phone from, I believe, 2013. So yeah, that was that. And then secondly, I've had that for a few years, and then, you know how I said I love stock Android? Well, I switched to a Xiaomi, and that's where my love for Xiaomi started in 2015, so that's 2 years on. Just like average upgrade cycles, two years on. I got the Xiaomi Mi 4C for extremely cheap. I believe I paid half price because it was going out of demand. We found it for extremely little money. And again, for the value, it was a great phone. The Snapdragon 808, 1080p 5-inch LCD IPS display, which is really good, still is very good. Now my brother's using that as his phone. I've sort of passed it down. And I like it. I still do like it. I still do go on it sometimes just to play around with it and experience some nostalgia. The camera was fairly decent on that thing. I did scratch it. There's a big scratch on it. But still works just fine. And that phone had MIUI. It's my first foray into MIUI. And, you know, just like everyone else, I thought it looked like iOS. And to be honest, it's upgraded quite a lot. But I did love this phone. And it sort of pushed me towards looking at Xiaomi's and just value for money. And that's where I got my love for getting a bang for the buck phone or device. Any piece of technology would have to be bang for the buck from now on. So yeah, there was that. And then, you know, since I was getting older, of course, I wanted newer things and my love for consumerism grew, or for spending money. And so a year and a half later, not 2 years later, I dished out about 250 quid for a secondhand iPhone SE. This was, I believe, 2017, January 2017. So yeah, I was done with the Mi 4C, and I dished out 250 quid for the iPhone SE. And this was my first experience into iOS on a phone, because I did have an iPad 4. Still do have an iPad 4. It is now has been passed down to someone else in the family. But yeah, the iPhone SE, and it was blazing fast, because keep in mind that before that I was using mid-range low-end phones, so that has the Apple A9 chip, the same as the iPhone 6s, and it was the fastest phone I'd ever used. Blazing fast, everything just opened, apps downloaded really quickly, YouTube worked, of course, with a VPN, but it still worked really quickly. The only thing that put me off in the beginning was the screen, but if you're afraid to go to a small screen after being on a big screen, you know, if you're looking to upgrade or to change phones, don't worry, because you will get used to it. 2 days later, after using this phone for 2 days, I completely got used to the screen. It was fine. It actually looked quite decent, quite big. I didn't notice it. So if you are looking to upgrade to a smaller phone, or you want a small phone for work or whatever, then don't be fazed by the fact that it has a small screen and you won't get used to it. You will get used to it, as I did. So don't worry about that. And, you know, the SE, coming back to it, was really good. The camera, again, was the best camera I'd experienced. It was even better than the Mi 4C that I had before. And that one took some really good pictures of the same camera as the iPhone 6S. And then, I kept rolling on that phone using iOS. And to be honest, I prefer Android. I am going to say this first episode. I do prefer Android over iOS. However, iOS was not bad. I wouldn't mind going to an iPhone once in a while just to check how iOS has, because it's not a bad operating system. So, I mean, I am biased towards Android, but I can respect iOS. I'm not a fanboy of Android. I do know that it has its downsides, and I know why people choose iOS. The ecosystem really is something else. It's massive. You can really get linked everything to everything. Your Mac to your iPad to your iPhone to your Apple TV. You can really link everything together, and I get why people are on that, but for me, it's just not worth it. So after the SE, well, not after the SE, I had the SE, and there was an issue that happened, because I got it for 250, but what the seller didn't tell me, and I'd got this in a fair at school, so it wasn't online, could have asked, didn't, stupid of me, but he didn't tell me that it was locked to a carrier. So when I put in my Chinese SIM, I had to use an rSIM. There was an rSIM in there, and I popped in my SIM, and it worked just fine, so I thought it was unlocked. So when I went to Spain, I decided to switch it to my Spanish SIM, and ta-da, it did not work, because it was locked, still is locked, to a Japanese carrier. Yeah, so got really, really, really pissed off, really, really sad, and so I needed an emergency phone, because I had no phone. The Mi the Mi 4C was in China, and I wasn't going to go back to that. So what I did, well, I looked at cheap phones, cheap budget phones again. Obviously, this was not going to have the speed of the SE at all. But I settled on a roughly 6-month-old phone by then, the Xiaomi Mi A1, and that's the phone that I'm using right now as my daily driver with stock Android. And the whole reason that I bought this phone was because it had stock Android. It's not the fastest phone running the Snapdragon 625, but it's got stock Android, fluid enough. I'm getting the monthly security updates through the VPN that I'm using, so it's completely fine. I've got my Nova Launcher set up on it. Not Nova Launcher, sorry. I've got a few custom widgets, but I'm keeping the UI the same. It's still stock Android, and it's quite fluid, even on the Snapdragon 625, because it is stock, and it's got no bloat whatsoever on it. Just the Xiaomi camera app, which isn't bad, and if you want, you can use the Google camera app, which makes it even better. But yeah, that's what I'm on right now, the Xiaomi Mi A1, and I am loving it, and I am planning to upgrade from this to the a flagship phone next summer, summer 2019. And I don't know what I'm going to go for yet. I don't know whether it's going to be the S10, the P30 Pro, maybe even the Mate 20X. I do like the Mate 20X. It's such a... I want a huge phone. I've become fond of them ever since I've had the Mi A1, which, mind you, isn't big anymore, because the what was considered big before, which is 5.5 inches, which is the size of my Mi A1, isn't big now. The Mate 20X is, I believe, 7.2. And it has a gorgeous AMOLED display, teardrop notch, and it's just, it's got the cameras of the Mate 20 Pro. And that's what, it's like a impasse between the Mate 20 and the Mate 20 Pro, which is what makes it so attractive. So I think I have my eyes set on that one. We'll see about the S10, see about the P30 Pro, but we'll see. But I am looking to upgrade in summer 2019. All right, so this has been episode 1 of the Tech Talk Tuesday podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. It probably came off as quite rushed, and if it is choppy, it is choppy, but we will see where we get with this. Obviously, this is just the start, and I hope to make many more. I will be discussing the latest tech news, the latest phones that have been released, giving them my opinion. So there was a bit of an intro and just some current topics that have been discussed about frequently, such as folding phones. I hope you enjoyed, and see you next time, I guess, on the Tech Talk Tuesday podcast.